RadioInfluence.com.
Introducing the world's heavyweight champion, the Crusher!
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 10-12-60 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
All right, welcome back to Crush Performance, everybody. I hope you had a fantastic week. I am Jeff Crushell, the con man is here, and we're your weekly source for performance information. If you want to get in touch with us, go to our website, crushperformance.com. You can email us, info@crushperformance.com, on Twitter, at Jeff Crush. And if you're on Facebook, join our group. It's called The Talent Grid. We got a great little community growing there, and it's just connecting everybody with the world of performance. If you want to get our podcast, we've had some great interviews over the years, and they're all available on iTunes, which is now Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Stitcher. Go to our website and get the podcast there into the archives. There's some really, really good stuff there, if I may say so. Today, some more good stuff, I hope. It's one of my favorite times of the year, the midway point of the Major League Baseball season. The Home Run Derby is behind us, and Judge put on a show. It was fantastic to see all the young guns taking over and really taking charge in the Home Run Derby. And then there was the Midsummer Classic, the All-Star Game, where we saw the veterans dominate play and take over the highlight reel, which was great to see. It's a very cool time in sport. As we mentioned in the last couple of episodes, we're seeing some very, very interesting trends. We're seeing great young players entering the highest level of competition and not just playing and competing there, but impacting the game, maybe pushing the level of play in some instances. And then on the other side, we're seeing the wily veterans playing longer into their careers. The idea of career longevity. This is how we're managing players during their careers now. And we're not just seeing players play a little bit longer, but we're seeing them play at the highest level of the game late into their careers. It's an interesting trend on both ends of the spectrum, and not just baseball. We're seeing it in many of the sports, well, virtually every single one of the sports. I mean, take a look at what happened in Wimbledon. You have Venus Williams and Roger Federer, you know, dominating, the two oldest players to go that deep into that tournament. It's a sign, I think, of things to come. We're at a point right now where there's not a lot we don't know about physical performance. If you want to get faster, well, we can make you faster. You want to get stronger, you want to jump higher, you want to get more powerful, you want to move better. Done. There's not a lot we don't know. We're almost at a ceiling when it comes to training the physical side of human performance. So where is the next level of human performance going to come from? Well, if we really break it down and have a look, there's two areas that I think are really going to allow us to tap into the next level of human performance. And one's going to be through technology. Certainly equipment technology. We've seen the influence of technology on sport. Well, to the point that some organizations have to put limits and restrictions on technology because its influence on human performance and performance outcomes. But on the other side, the mind. The ability to tap into the mind, understand how the mind works, and the way psychology is now pushing into the sporting world, we're opening up doors of human performance that we weren't able to open before. And a lot of that has to do with the technology that we now have. We can now track brain activity. We can have real-time feedback on how our brains are operating. And that's another side to technology. So those two areas, the technology and training the mind and understanding how the mind works in terms of performance, are going to be really, really important areas of study and training over the next few years, because I think those are the two next big keys to tapping into human performance. And I want to get into more of that later in the show as we talk baseball today. I want to talk about baseball performance. I want to talk about injury prevention. And if you're a coach, a parent of a baseball player, or just a player that wants to see how far you can go in the game, there's some things you really need to be thinking about right now that can help you, one, maximize your performance, and two, minimize injury, because the injury rates in baseball are at an epidemic rate, especially when we look at Tommy John and elbow injuries. Shoulder injuries are down a little bit, but still a major concern. It's the elbow injuries we're seeing right now that are really raising the alarm. We're going to talk about how you can stay safe and maximize your performance later in the show. And we're also going to go back to a conversation we had with the VP of Baseball Operations for the Los Angeles Dodgers. We had Alex Anthopoulos on at the start of the season to discuss the Dodgers' approach to the game and how hard it is to put together a winning franchise in this day and age. Right now, at the midpoint of the season, the Dodgers have the highest payroll in baseball, and they also have the best record in baseball. So all is as it should seem. But does big money equal big results? You would think, on the surface, that's the way it should roll, but not always. We're going to step out here and have a look at what's going on in Major League Baseball in terms of the standings in relationship to the team payrolls, and we're going to see if that big money actually does equal results. I think you're going to be surprised. I think in sport, one of the hardest things to do is put together a winning team. It's very difficult with the new CBAs, with free agency, with the limitations on money. Baseball's a little different animal that way because they don't have a hard cap. It's one of the few professional sports that don't have a hard cap, and you would think this discrepancy in payrolls would mean the big money teams dominate play. While though we've seen some of that over the years, it's not always the case. So let's set the stage, have a look at the MLB landscape, and see what we can learn from the first half of this season. Major League Baseball has its sight on breaking the $15 billion mark in annual revenue over the next few years. I think by 2020, they want to be around the $15 billion mark. This year, it's projected they'll break the $10 billion mark. So they're going to have to figure out a way to come up with that extra $5 billion over the next few years, which I don't think is going to be a problem. But if we look at the 30 major league teams, they employ 750 big league players at any given time. Going back to 2006 and looking at the average data, on an annual basis, the players will earn 48 to 51% of the annual revenue. It's great, great work if you can get it. But does that big money mean big results? Let's take a look. If we're going to use team payrolls at the start of the season as our marker, and there's a lot of different numbers out there when it comes to starting payrolls, but I like to use sporttrack.com. They're very consistent, and they also take everything into account. So if we take the payrolls, according to this source, from the beginning of the season, and look at the standings right now, here's what you would have. In the AL East, Boston is leading the way. They're number two in payroll, so that sort of falls right into what we would think. New York is 3.5 games back. They're number three in overall payroll. Tampa is 3.5 games back as well in the AL East. They're 28th in payroll, so that's a big drop. Tampa is one of the lower teams in the game in terms of payroll, yet they're right there battling in the AL East, which I believe is the toughest division in all of baseball. If we look at the AL Central, look at Cleveland. They're number 18 in overall payroll. Minnesota is 2.5 games back there. They're number 21 in payroll. In the AL West, we have Houston on top. They're 16th in overall payroll. The Los Angeles Dodgers, they're 16.5 games back of Houston. And they have a payroll that's ranked number 11 out of the 30 teams. Texas is right there as well, 16.5. They're number 6. Going to the National League, if we look at the National League East, Washington is tearing it up. They're number 8 in overall payroll. Atlanta is in second spot in that division. They're 9.5 games back, and their payroll is 19th overall. Looking at the NL Central, here's the greatest surprise and maybe the biggest bang for your buck in all of sport, leave alone baseball. Milwaukee has a stranglehold on the AL Central in the first half. They're number 1 there, but they have the lowest payroll in the game of baseball. They're 30th overall. The Chicago Cubs are 5.5 games back. The defending World Series champions have the 9th largest payroll in all of baseball. Now, looking at the NL West, the Los Angeles Dodgers, as we mentioned, have the largest payroll in all of baseball. But they also have the best record. They're number 1 overall with 61 wins at the All-Star break. They're followed by Arizona in that division, who's 7.5 games back, with the 24th largest payroll in baseball. Okay, so there's a lot of information, a lot of numbers there. What does it all mean? Well, breaking it down very simply, here's what we've got. If we look at the top teams in each division of baseball and compare their position right now in the overall standings to their rankings in payroll, does big money equal big results? Well, the biggest bang for a buck, as I mentioned, is Milwaukee. They're leading the NL Central with the lowest payroll in baseball at $78.9 million. The Dodgers have the best record in baseball with the largest payroll at $252.1 million. So where does that leave everybody else? Looking at the first and second place teams in each division, five are from the top half of overall payroll and nine are from the bottom half. So at this point in the season, the smaller payroll teams are dominating. Now, will it carry through the second half? That's one thing we'll watch with incredible interest. We'll revisit this conversation at the end of the year to see how much it's changed. But as of right now, you don't need to be a big budget team to have great success. And to go a little bit further, the dog days of summer are setting in for some of these teams. The Detroit Tigers have by far been the worst return on investment in baseball this year. They have the fourth largest payroll at just over $210 million. They're in fourth place in their division with only 39 wins. They're eight games back of the Cleveland Indians, and I think their season is over. The Phillies have also been struggling. They're 20th overall in team payroll, just over $126 million, but they're 22 and a half games back for the Washington Nationals. It's going to be a long second half for the Phillies. If we take a look at the Jays, they're battling this year. Injury prone in a red hot division. Classically, the toughest division in baseball, in my humble opinion. But at the start of the season, they were fifth overall in team payroll, just over $200 million on the books. And they're last in the AL East right now, eight and a half games back. The AL East is the division to watch over the second half here because there are teams in this division that have to make the playoffs this year. And everybody's within striking distance. If the Jays can turn it around, they have a legitimate shot, though the odds makers aren't giving it to them. But all the pieces are there. They just need to put it together. The Tampa Rays, though, are a great story in baseball. 28th overall in payroll, but they're battling in second place in the toughest division. So they're really, really achieving, and that's a big return on investment for the owners of the Tampa Bay Rays. The dog days of summer will continue on for the Padres, who are 22 games back. They also have the second lowest payroll in baseball, and there might be some correlation there. They're just over $87 million on the books. And the A's, of course, are 21 games back with the fourth lowest payroll. It's going to be a long, long summer for those teams. So where do we go from here? Well, to October. Let's revisit this conversation at the end of the season and see how it pans out over the second half, because this is where it counts. We know who's out. It's quite obvious there's teams that are going to be selling and not really doing a lot. But there's those teams who are on the cusp who now have to decide whether they want to make a run for it, make some trades, maybe spend a little more money, or whether they want to sell out and start rebuilding for upcoming years. This is the game within the game, and one of the reasons it's so hard to build a championship team in the game of baseball. Teams to watch in the second half, well, I'd certainly keep my eye on the AL East, top to bottom. It's going to be a dogfight there, and they're all, I believe, going to be in the hunt. But you have to watch Milwaukee. Can the team with the lowest payroll in baseball hang on over the second part of the season? The Cubs are in hot pursuit, and of course, they're defending champions. They have everything to prove, and they want to win again, so that's going to be a big fight. And of course, the Dodgers, the Yankees, all these teams, Cleveland, where are they coming from, and Houston. Houston might be, arguably, the greatest franchise turnaround in recent history, and maybe not just even in baseball. The way this organization has turned themselves around from the new ownership in 2011 to entering the American League in 2013 and setting themselves up for the success they're having right now is a great study in sport culture, but also strategic planning. You might also put Chicago into this argument. Well, not might, you have to put Chicago into this argument because the commitment from the Ricketts family, the addition of Theo and Joe, while the rest is history. Now we have to see if it's for real and if they have longevity in the game. So the Cubs will be certainly a team to watch as we head into the second half here. It's going to be a blast. One of the reasons I love the game of baseball, it's anybody's game. And in the modern era here, so much depends on athlete management. Certainly depth will play a role. Injuries are going to be a big issue in the second half. Do the teams have the players to back up and fill in when injuries do happen? Well, this is what it's all about. Baseball has the most grueling competitive schedule in all of sport, and trust me, in the second half here, it's going to be a game of survival. It's going to be survival of the fittest, literally. The team that stays healthy here, for the teams who are on top, The teams that stay healthy are going to be the teams that have a shot at the title, and that's how this game works now. So when it comes to sports science and managing the athletes and maximizing performance, maximizing recovery, and managing them through the competitive schedule in the second half, it's critical in the world of high-performance sports now, and certainly in baseball. So we'll see which teams survive, which teams drop off, and who exceeds expectation, and who's right there when the bell rings at the end of the season. Later in the show, we'll get into the developmental side of the game a little deeper. We'll talk about injury prevention, and we'll talk about what you need to be thinking about if you love the game of baseball, if you want a shot at playing at the highest level. There's some tricks to the trade, and there's no magic, trust me. It is just pure, well, pure common sense in a lot of different ways. We'll talk about that later in the show. And coming up after the break, I want to revisit a conversation we had with the Los Angeles Dodgers VP of Baseball Operations, Alex Anthopoulos. We had a conversation with him as the season started. I want to go back there and see what we can learn from this conversation now that the first half is done, see how the Dodgers are doing, and it might give us an indication of why this organization, despite having the highest payroll in the game of baseball, is incredibly successful. Trust me, it's a top-down effect. They're building a culture there of winning. And we'll hear more on that from Alex right after this on Crush Performance. Stick around, everybody. We'll be right back.
Radio Influence brings you the absolute best in digital audio broadcasting. We've got something for everyone. Sports personalities like the Fabulous Sports Babe, Rich Herrera, and former Major League Baseball manager Kevin Kennedy as they take you inside the dugout. We'll take you inside the world of MMA with the MMA Report with Jason Floyd, the MMA Insiders, and the Valor Hour with Tim Loy and Casey Oxendine. Or you could find yourself sitting ringside with wrestling ring announcer David Penn. TV law enforcement analyst and former police officer Vincent Hill breaks down this week's biggest crime stories and takes you beyond the badge. Chef Brian Duffy from TV's Bar Rescue shares his crazy life on the road with Duffified Live. And Scott Ledger will always make you think with some dangerous conversation. All of Radio Influence's shows can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.
You're listening to Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Get the Crush blogs, podcasts, and performance links at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Crush Performance. Jeff Crochelle here, the con man behind the glass. We're your weekly source for performance information. Hey, if you have any questions, comments, or smart remarks, or if you have a topic you'd like us to investigate, let us know. We may dedicate a segment of a show, even an entire episode, to your topic. Get to us, crushperformance.com. You can email us, info@crushperformance. Follow us on Twitter, @JeffCrush. And if you want to get our podcast, get into the archives. We've had some great guests, some great conversations, looking at the world of performance in general on iTunes and Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher. Just punch in Crush Performance. So we're at the midway point of the Major League Baseball season, one of my favorite times of the year. We look back on the first half to see what we can learn. We look forward to the second half and predict what we think might happen. And in October, we're going to revisit the standings, the payrolls, and we'll see how we make out with our predictions as the second half of the season is about to get underway. Right now, all is as it should be. The team with the largest payroll has the best record in the game. The Dodgers are leading the way with 61 wins at this point. But I think their success goes well beyond the numbers, well beyond the dollars spent. The Dodgers are building a culture of success. Earlier in the year, we had an entire episode dedicated to the Dodgers. A Day with the Dodgers, it was titled, as we spoke with a third base coach, Chris Woodward, and the new VP of Baseball Operations, Alex Anthopoulos, about the approach of the organization and why they're going about their business the way that they do. Certainly, they have the support from ownership. The money is there, and they're making money. There's no question about it. But money doesn't equal success, as we see with the standings right now. And historically, we know that in the second half, the landscape can change greatly. It has more to do with the culture, the players, the coaching, the development, and athlete management than it does with the bottom line. So here's the conversation we had with Alex Anthopoulos, the VP of Baseball Operations for the Los Angeles Dodgers, as we talked about baseball, cultures, talent, and his approach to building a winning franchise. Alex, thanks for joining us at this very busy time of the season.
Really glad to be on, Jeff.
Well, listen, a great transition for you as you land in Los Angeles and after such a great, great experience with the Blue Jays last year. You know, one thing I've really wanted to talk to you about is just this idea of putting together a championship team and all the pieces and everything that goes into that. A couple of years ago, Alex, we had this little conversation on the radio show where we talked about, hey, what are the toughest things to do in sport? And of course, it was very loose rules. So one guy would say, stepping in the ring and, you know, going through 10 rounds in a boxing match. And somebody else would say doing a quad in figure skating. And of course, hitting a fastball in baseball was number one. But I took a very different angle. After being around you and JP and some of the executives in baseball, I said, you know what? One of the hardest things in all of sport is putting together a championship team. And I just wanted to sort of pose that question to you as we kick off this conversation, because I don't think it's as easy as people might first think.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, it's really hard, and you need a lot of luck and some things to go right. But I think there's a lot of layers to it. And I mean, I could probably talk for hours on this, but I think there's a few components. One, you know, obviously winning, you know, championship or divisions or, you know, whatever you want to call it. But also, you know, what type of team do you want? And do you want to win at all costs? Or do you want to win the right way? Or do you want to be about certain things? Do you want to represent certain things? And I got to tell you, I didn't really consider that at all until the summer of 2014. I met somebody that, you know, has become a pretty good friend of mine today. He's not involved in baseball, not a sports guy at all, but just had a really introspective conversation. We talked a lot about that. Is it just about winning and winning at all costs? Or is it about winning with a certain group of guys, a certain character and certain values, and things like that? And that really struck a chord with me. And, you know, it's something that I certainly try to put together as the GM and build a staff that believes in the same things.
Well, there's so many pieces of the puzzle to put together. When you talk about the staff, the players, and the organization as a whole, you know, we got a chance to spend some time with the late and great Harvey Dorfman, who was a sports psychologist who really influenced baseball. And one of the things he always talked to us about, you know, when we're trying to put together championship programs or whether I was working with the athletes one-on-one, was the idea that, you know, a winning culture starts from the top down. Leadership is so, so important. And I think, you know, interesting, one of the things you talked about last year in one of your interviews was this idea of, you know, creating leadership and allowing leadership to prosper. And I thought that was an interesting angle.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I think, you definitely can't do these jobs alone. You need a lot of support. You need a lot of good individuals around you. You definitely need to empower them, give them a lot of responsibility and autonomy as well. But I think equality, I think a lot of people agree that sports is a microcosm of life, and you need people that are self-starters. And I could say early in my career, probably took some chances on some players that had a lot of talent and a lot of ability, but and ultimately felt, well, maybe we'd get them to change and so on. And I've kind of changed from that thought process a little bit. I think you are who you are. That doesn't mean you can't improve or get better. But I think to your core, you are who you are. And I think it starts there. And I think especially when, you know, whether it came to the draft and the players that we would bring in and draft, and you're giving those players to the minor league staff and development, and you want good people and people that are going to be able to work with and to set up programs and do all those kind of things. And I did feel like it was on us as a front office, and that's with the big league staff as well. We want our manager to have success. We want our coaches to have success in the minor leagues at the big league level. And a big part of what we do is who we bring in, not just the talent that we bring in. And that was probably more of the focus when I first started as a GM, probably so obsessed with talent and getting value than I was about, yeah, talent's a big part of it, but that other component, that character, values, and what they're about is almost equally as important. Not as, but it's pretty close. But talent comes first. But that other component is huge, and it's definitely something that I made a change. I'd say in the offseason of 2014 as a GM, made a significant change in who we went after in terms of acquiring players.
We're talking with Alex Anthopoulos, the Vice President of Baseball Operations for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Well, now you're into a new role, the Vice President of Baseball Operations. How does that differ from a GM's position, Alex? And are you looking forward to the challenges now in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I am. I mean, there's definitely a lot of the biggest disparity or the biggest change, I guess, is that you're not making the final final decision when it's all said and done. That said, I can't tell you that I enjoyed making the final decision. It's not that I didn't enjoy it. It was just part of the job and somebody needed to do it. I mean, we always would collaborate. We'd always get everyone's opinions and insights and debate and go through it. But finally, someone's got to, you know, break the tie. You get votes, but at the end of the day, someone's got to make the decision. And that's where, you know, there's a lot of stress involved with that. And there's a lot of accountability that comes with that. And to be able to just, you know, be a voice, have a vote, I certainly feel great about my influence and involvement. That comes from Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi, and obviously get to work with Josh Burns as well. It's a very inclusive, good group. And I have so much respect for all those guys, and I get along with them so well. And also, the exciting part for me is that I get to learn from them as well. And hopefully they feel the same way. They get to learn from me, because all of our backgrounds vary in so many ways. I do think we complement each other in a lot of ways. So just basically part of the baseball operations team, part of all the decision-making. Andrew clearly has the final say, as he should. But he certainly leans on all of us, and we're very involved in decision-making. And it's fun to be part of that kind of group, that kind of team. And it's a place that I hope I'm here for a long time.
We're talking with Alex Anthopoulos, the new vice president of baseball operations for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Well, baseball is such a unique sport. And I kind of like your reference to the minor league players coming up and, you know, sort of the front office taking ownership for those young careers. Because, boy, you know, I think that might be lost a little bit in today's sports where everybody's sort of looking out for themselves. Part of that winning culture is just sort of, you know, having some maybe a brotherhood. Is that fair to say, Alex?
Yeah, I think so. I think, again, speaking from my own experiences, a lot of people talk about having an identity, a culture, you know, for example, a Blue Jays type player, a Dodgers type player. And I'd hear it all the time, but I don't know that I truly understood it, because you're still trying to straddle that line between you have holes to fill. You need talent. You know, talent is ultimately what this game is about. I mean, that's first and foremost. You can have the greatest character and work ethic in the world, but if you don't have talent, it's not going to matter. So this is a talent-based game. But I did look back at times and, you know, felt that maybe it wasn't fair that we were expecting coaches and trainers to perform a miracle with players that had issues, whether it was off the field, talent, work ethic, makeup, health. And, you know, at times in a front office, I mean, you bring in guys, but I did think we needed to reevaluate the track record of some of these players, the health of some of these players, what type of individuals they were, how they impacted other players. I don't know that we talked about it. We valued it to an extent, but clearly not enough in my mind. And we made a significant change. And I think you saw it on the field. We had a lot more health. You saw the team come together, and it was a team. It's the first time I had seen that in my years in baseball rather than a collection of talent. And that wasn't luck or a fluke. That was by design. And you know, even everyone we acquired, the one thing we had no doubt about was they were going to coexist and work well together. They were going to work well with the staff. They were going to fit the city and the community. And those are things we didn't talk about. I'd hear all the time, players that can play in New York, players that can play in Boston, and guys being the right fit. I think there's something to be said for having the right fit in Toronto as well, or LA, or any other place. These are individuals, they're human beings, and those are all components that, in my mind, need to be weighed. And I, again, early in my career, I certainly didn't feel like I weighed them enough now that I look back.
Ah, in hindsight. Well, that is a very provocative thought, you know, putting together a team rather than a collection of talent. That's something that I don't think a lot of people truly appreciate.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And when, you know, there's certainly a level of player, you know, players make other players a lot better. You can have the best coach in the world. And those certainly can make a tremendous impact, but I don't think there's any greater impact than your peers. And you can equate it if anyone's a parent who's been through this, you know, we all can tell our kids things, but you surround them with the right kids and people that you feel are good influences, you're going to drift in that direction and you're going to get better. And when people genuinely like each other and they care about each other, they help each other, they try to make each other better. It's hard to quantify that on a stat sheet, but I've seen it with my own eyes, how players can impact other players. And I've seen it conversely the other way. When guys don't get along, when guys don't like each other, they don't look out for each other, they don't try to make each other better, they don't want to come to the park early, they don't want to stay late and work on things. You just want to go home. And just like in a work environment, if you like where you go to work every day, you're probably going to really thrive and do well, have a lot of energy. If you don't, you're probably going to look to punch the clock, show up as late as you can, leave as early as you can to get out of there and not be very productive. So like I said, sports is absolutely a microcosm of life. And I think that's absolutely a huge component of being able to win.
Fantastic. We're talking with Alex Anthopoulos, the Vice President of Baseball Operations for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Alex, interesting time in baseball right now because, inside of all these groups, the talent pool is growing. You know, we have the World Baseball Classic, the first time the qualifiers are going around. We have all the focus on Cuba this year. It's very exciting. But players are now coming from all over the world. You had a chance to work in Toronto. You're now in the heartland of baseball down in the United States. And just to get your perspective on the talent pool and the globalization of the game.
There's no doubt. The game just keeps growing and growing. And I do think it's been, years now, but I think the World Baseball Classic has been great for the game. And our game continues to grow. Certainly, I've been able to witness that growth in Canada. It's really exploded, and it's been great to see that. You know, I've been involved in Latin America and international scouting for quite a while, and that's always been important, but it continues to grow. And certainly you see from the Asian perspective, and I'm certainly experiencing that out in L.A. now with a guy like Maeda, who was just signed in the offseason. The influence and the impact. So clearly the game is growing, the game is thriving, and globally for all of us, it's a great thing. And, we're obviously all huge baseball fans at heart, but to know that other people get a chance to get exposed to it and fall in love with the sport as well is great to see. And, quality baseball teams that win are certainly the best way to attract fans. And there's no doubt that the sport is in great shape.
Yeah, Alex, one last question for you. Very interested in the sabermetrics and the statistics. Of course, everybody knows that baseball is legendary for the numbers. Just wanted to get your impressions and your take and maybe how you use all the numbers that are available when you look at talent evaluation, player evaluations, and how you're using that to help players grow and move forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's so much information that continues to just explode, and to be able to keep up with it is pretty important as well. And you see the analytics departments across baseball continue to grow. And everyone's got access to the data, but it's how you analyze the data, how you manipulate the data, how you apply it, because I think you hit on a good point. And I think it's always been looked to be used as a predictive tool going forward, evaluating players, trying to project what they're going to do. But I do think there's certainly ways now in the game to help from a player development standpoint. How do you improve a player, whether it's from advanced scouting, and there's certainly a lot of things used there. Certainly on the minor league side as well, there's things that we can do. So, and again, you still need that human element, the evaluation. I think knowing some of the, the things like we talked about, character, work ethic, all those type of things, body composition, durability, health, all those things are so important when it comes to evaluating players. And with all the information we continue to have, we still, as an industry, make a lot of mistakes. We're not right 100% of the time. Still certainly haven't nailed down the draft. But to me, more information is a great thing. I always had a thirst for it, and I would take any information that was available and try to find ways to get a competitive advantage and apply it.
Well, it's a very interesting time for baseball in general, Alex, and a very exciting time for you as you kick off spring training with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Alex, thanks for your time tonight, and we'll look forward to watching you and your team all season long.
Thank you very much, Jeff. I really enjoyed it.
There you go. Our conversation with Alex Anthopoulos from spring training. Some really good insight to his approach in building a team and an organization. But his comments on talent and talent development and the emphasis that he now puts on the character of the players, that's a very, very good perspective looking at this organization, seeing where they're at right now, and why they're going to continue to be successful for years and years to come. It's all about the people. And I think you can really hear that in this conversation with Alex, the emphasis on getting good people on board. So important for success of any organization. Hey, coming up after the break, I want to delve into that conversation about athlete development, helping athletes stay healthy, especially in the game of baseball. And let's talk a little bit about mindset and approach. There's a lot of things you can do right now to improve your game, stay healthy. And if you're looking to chase down the dream of professional sports or college sports,
There's some real simple things that you can address right now. We'll talk about it right after this on Crush Performance. Stick around. Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. If you're a serious athlete, a weekend warrior, parent, or coach, join us each week as we investigate the latest trends and research coming out of the sport performance world. We'll visit with top athletes, coaches, and sports scientists to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it truly takes to achieve human maximum performance. You can visit us online at crushperformance.com, and Crush Performance Radio with me, Jeff Kreshel, can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and at Radio Influence.
This is Crush Performance. If you have questions, comments, or smart remarks, write to us at crushperformance.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Glad you stuck around. I am Jeff Kreshel. We are Crush Performance, talking the midseason classic, the midseason point of the Major League Baseball season. If you want to get in touch with us, go to our website, crushperformance.com. If you have any questions, comments, smart remarks, we love them all, answer them all, certainly read them all. Let us know. Info at Crush Performance is the email address. If you want to follow us on Twitter, at Jeff Crush is my handle. And if you're on Facebook, The Talent Grid. Listen, to get our podcast and go into the archives, to hear this show again, share it with friends, you can go to iTunes, which I guess now is Apple Podcasts. We're also on Google Play and Stitcher. Just punch in Crush Performance and we are there. Hey, just came off a fantastic review of our conversation with Alex Anthopoulos, who is the VP of Baseball Operations for the Los Angeles Dodgers, coming over from Toronto, where he did a fantastic job of building the infrastructure of a pretty successful organization. He's brought that to Los Angeles now, and it's interesting to see and to hear from a guy who's at that level of the game, who's that ingrained and dedicated to putting together winning franchises and winning teams, to hear how his attitude has changed over the course of time. This whole idea of character is really, really important. In the NFL, as a matter of fact, we have three teams who have gone so far as to hire character coaches. Seattle, the Patriots, and the Colts all have experts on board who evaluate and look at the character of the players. I mean, if you look at the NFL last year, there were 26 arrests. This year, they're already at 17, and we're not even sniffing the season yet. So in the NFL, character is a big thing beyond just the matrix of the team and the cohesiveness of the team. But it's a really important factor in sport now. And, you know, listening to Alex talk about his shift in thinking away from talent, though talent is still supreme, don't get me wrong, you don't get to play at the highest level of sport, any sport, if you don't have the skill and talent. But you also have to have the character. Can it be taught? You better believe it. I think we're all products of our environments. And there's only so much you can get away with. If you're allowed to get away with it, I guess, right? So, you know, this whole idea of character and character control is really interesting, and we're seeing it seep into Major League Baseball, creating a matrix of character. Now, you think this is something that you might just put together, or you might just sort of fall into if you're looking at a team and you're putting together a team. Hey, well, the things really came together. The character of this team is fantastic. That internal environment is really important. The expectation from the management, from the ownership, really sets the tone. And I think that's where the true character comes from. There's no doubt about it, though. You have to screen your players for character. You have to make sure they're coachable. You have to make sure they're not, well, they're not jerks or a-holes, right? I mean, you got to have the right people on board. And most importantly, you got to have good teammates. And that's not all. They don't always have to be great people, great human beings, but they can't set you back. I mean, we've seen it in baseball. You know, our show today is about baseball. We've seen it before. We've seen massive contracts sit or get paid out just so teams could get rid of guys, and some big name guys as well. There's some guys who wanted to come back, but nobody would have them because they knew the attitude and the problems they brought to the clubhouse. So it's really a growing area of interest, and I do believe it's also another trainable area where we can really give young players an advantage just by simply making them aware of what character is all about and what it is. And it's something you have to practice. And there's no better way to practice it than living in an environment that requires it. So, you know, we look at all these academies that are popping up in the developmental sport, all these clubs and travel teams and everything that's going on out there. If we're really going to be interested in or really focused on, centered on, you know, developing young talent, that has to be a real integral part of the developmental system. So great conversation with Alex there, and I wanted to review that because it's really interesting to hear it at the start of the season. That was really cool. But to go and revisit it now to see how successful this team has been, and even if the team wasn't successful, I mean, we could take some teams that aren't doing so well right now and talk to their management and their problem solving, you know, in my book that's coming out soon, and there'll be more on that in the next few weeks. But we really talk about the idea of what is talent development? How do you go about developing high-performing people? And, you know, when it comes to the framework of developing high performers, there are just some rock-solid fundamentals that have to be addressed. And it's all part of the developmental system. For baseball, you know, and now that we're at the midway point, the second season is going to truly tell some tales, as we mentioned and talked about payrolls. Money isn't everything in this game. Development, skill, grit, character, these are all coming into play. But there's nothing impacting the game right now more than injury. And it's a big, big problem. I mean, you know, we look at the amount of money that's involved now in the game of baseball. We look at the competitive schedule, and it's a survival game. At best, it's a survival game. And injury prevention is king. Every single program in baseball at the higher levels is revolving around injury prevention first. Once that's taken care of, we can look at performance on the field and in the game. And that's what it's all about. If you look at the money that's been spent, oh my goodness, it is massive. There was a great article, study that came out in the American Journal of Orthopedics, and it looked at the number of injuries in professional baseball from 1998 to 2015, and they broke down the wages, they broke down the time on the IR, and understand that all the contracts in Major League Baseball are guaranteed. So whether you play or not, you're getting that money. And that's why you see some guys who get released, the team still owe them 20, 25 million, 30 million, $50 million at times. Well, when you're injured, the same thing. You could be injured and not play. The team still has to come up with your salary. Some of it's insured, but insurance is incredibly expensive. But get this. Between 1998 and 2015, the researchers went and looked at all the time that was lost due to injury across professional baseball. And on average, it cost the 30 teams for over $423 million a year. Over the course of the 18 seasons, the amount of money teams spent on players who couldn't play the game was $7.6 billion. And that's a big problem in baseball. I mean, just think of it. $7.6 billion spent on players who couldn't contribute to your team winning. So injury prevention is really important. We have to make sure we address these athletes in the right way. But here's the ticket, all right? Or here's the rub, so to speak. Maybe that's a better way to look at it. This is the rub. Guys aren't getting injured in professional baseball. Now, they're getting broken. They break in professional baseball because the intensity of the play, the grueling schedules, there's no question about it. But I wager to say that the majority of the injuries that we see at the higher levels, they started years and years and years before these guys even dreamt about the possibility of becoming a major league player. This stuff's happening in minor league developmental baseball, and we have got to change the system. It's broken. It's broken big time. We're probably damaging and destroying more talent in the developmental levels than we're creating, and I think I'm pretty safe in saying that. And all we really need to do is we just need to take a step back and truly understand what development's all about. If we want to look at the development of a baseball player, you just have to manage them on an annual basis, a semi-annual basis, depending on the competitive season, the preseason, the offseason, on a monthly basis, daily basis, and right down to that 24-hour cycle we always talk about. And if you follow our principles of development, you know, even at the highest levels of sport, and take care of business in terms of the hierarchy of performance, our crush hierarchy of performance, you're going to have a really good shot at being healthy. Because listen, right now, if you're talented, semi-talented, if you're pretty good even, and you're healthy, you might have a really good shot at playing really, really high level ball. And we could say the same for almost every other sport. But if you look at our priorities of development, rest and recovery is critical for injury prevention, certainly for performance and development over time. And sleep is the kingpin there. You've heard me say this 1,000 times if you listen to the show. And if you know it, say it with me. The priority number one is rest and recovery and sleep. Number two is hydration and nutrition on a daily basis. Number three is posture and setup. joint range of motion, muscular symmetry, skeletal alignment, joint integrity. All that stuff is critically important before we ever get into the game. Once that stuff's taken care of and managed, let's start performance. That's why our fourth priority is movement, teaching proper movement. Teaching proper movement is going to reduce injuries. You better believe it. Not only that, though, it's going to maximize performance. And if you know how to teach movement, you can create massive opportunity for your athletes. Now, if you take an athlete who's taking care of rest and recovery, sleep, nutrition on a daily basis, has great posture and range of motion and joint stability, and then you teach movement, well, that's how we create superstars. That's how we really create opportunities. Now, listen, there's no magic bullet here. We don't know how good any athlete can get. We can get a pretty good idea, but we don't know for sure until we've gone through the process. But here's what I'm telling you. Unless you're going through the process, man, oh man, it is a crapshoot. And I really don't like games of chance when we're talking about, you know, striving for a college career or a national team or an Olympic berth. Certainly not a player's, a professional contract. And I don't like gambling with the fate of an organization, especially when there's, you know, finances and families involved and, you know, lots of very, very important things beyond the world of sports. So, you know, if we follow those simple rules, you can do it. I mean, just look what's happening in baseball. If there were two areas that you could really focus on and have a massive impact on performance right now, again, rest and recovery, sleep, let's just say that's a given. You have to be doing that. If you're not doing that, you really don't have a chance. But if you take care of nutrition on a 24-hour cycle and just maybe work a little bit on vision. Vision would be an easy thing to really develop and help improve a baseball player's chance of playing the game, because we know that baseball players typically have better vision. If you have good vision and you're sort of an explosive power type athlete, you got a good chance. Well, there's a good chance you're playing baseball right now. But if you're not playing baseball, you might want to consider it. The average, you know, visual performance for the average person is 20/20. We've all heard that before. And basically what that means is what you should see at 20 feet, you can see at 20 feet. If it's less, it's less. If you need, if what normal people see at 20 feet, you have to be at 15 feet. Well, then you need corrective glasses or contacts or something. The average baseball player is the other way. The average baseball player is around 20/12. So what the normal person would see at 12 feet, baseball players can see clearly at 20 feet. So there's basically five areas to visual performance. There's focus, there's tracking, visual coordination, depth perception, and peripheral awareness. Those are basically five general areas, but it's incredibly trainable. Improving vision is one of the easiest things you can do. And for any sport, listen, as soon as that ball gets put into play, about 80% of your brain power is dedicated to processing visual information. So one of our priorities for every athlete in every sport is making sure the brain's getting the best information possible. Protect your vision. You'll hear us say it in training to all of our athletes all the time. Protect your vision. We'll talk about that another day. Hey, we're out of time, everybody. Again, if you have questions, comments, a topic you'd like us to look into, let us know. Crushperformance.com. You can email us, info@crushperformance.com. And if you want to get the podcast or send it to your friends or put the word out anyway, because we're pretty dedicated and proud of what we do here at Crush Performance. We're on iTunes, which I think now is Apple Podcasts. We're on Google Play, Stitcher. Just punch in Crush Performance. You can get into our archives there. So, hey, I want to thank you for listening, everybody. The second half is going to be a doozy, so pay attention. Even if you're not a baseball fan, there's going to be a lot to learn there. Thanks for listening. We've got some really cool topics coming up over the next few weeks, and I'm looking forward to sharing it with you. We'll talk to you then.
I'm Jerry Petuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out radioinfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, radioinfluence.com.